Let us join in prayer for the message. Almighty God, send your Holy Spirit among us now, and let it burn like fire in our hearts as we consider your word together. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, we're just past halfway in this 40-day season of Lent. Hard to believe it's going by that fast. In just 3 weeks, Easter Sunday will be here. And we've been journeying through this period of time. This is part four of a five-part series called Lenten Reflections. Each week we got a re-word in the title of the sermon. The first week we were all about recovering our passion, that way we felt and acted when we first gave our lives to the Lord, and it was all new and it was exciting and we couldn't wait to be used by the Lord for something good. The second week we realized that we need each other, and so we spent time dealing with reconciling our differences. And we saw, along with Paul in 2 Corinthians, that everyone who is in Christ is a new creation. We no longer have to deal with people according to worldly ways, fleshly ways, but rather in the Spirit as well. And we learned that we can, in fact, continue to worship God together and work together for His kingdom, even when we disagree on some key elements. Last week, we refocused on our mission. It was all about refocusing on our mission, to go to all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teach them everything that Jesus commanded us. We remembered our mission and our need to get out and do. And it occurred to me that as we prepared this series, that it's sometimes kind of hard to live a life of faith. And during this season of Lent, we kind of add to that a little bit, because many of us are giving up something that maybe has too much of a hold on our lives, or we're taking on some new spiritual discipline that we haven't tried before. And we've got so many things that are drawing our time and our energy away from us that it's very hard for us to do that from time to time. And it becomes kind of burdensome to add something to it. Personally, I gave up pounds for Lent, so I don't have one thing I'm not allowed to eat. It's a whole bunch of stuff I'm not allowed to eat. But we'll see how it works out. But my point is, it's hard to add something to an already crowded life. And from time to time, in order for us to be prepared to take on whatever God is bringing to us in our lives, we have to renew our strength. Renew our strength. There's times when the life of faith can really become difficult in our world today. But the Bible, Isaiah chapter 40, reminds us that those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary and walk and not faint. And in chapter 55 of Isaiah, by His stripes we are healed. We can be made whole, healed, brought into the right relationship with God with all the energy and the possibility we need in the world if we give ourselves to Him. So I want to invite each of us to renew our strength today, the strength that will prepare us for the weeks ahead, as we, especially Holy Week, where we begin with celebration and then so quickly turn to concern. We'll spend time together with the Holy Meal on Holy Thursday to remind ourselves of Jesus sitting with the table with His disciples and sharing Himself with them. And then we'll go with Him to the garden and on to the cross, watching, of course, from a safe distance, the cross of Christ. We need to be strong to be prepared for that kind of event if we really want to take it seriously in our lives. And I want to spend a little time with this text today, which promises us some renewal. And if you've been around here much, you know that I always like to provide a context, some sort of background, some sort of way for us to enter into the text. I mean, we have to cover centuries of time and miles of distance and a tremendously different culture to be able to deal with this. And at this point in Matthew's gospel, as he tells the life of Jesus, Jesus has already had both success and failure in his ministry, if you will. Success in that he healed many, he had power over nature, he demonstrated all of the signs of the coming Messiah, and yet some still doubted him. And he created resistance among the religious leaders of the day and the Roman overlords. Everybody was tense and anxious because of him. And Jesus has just realized that his message has really taken root among those who, that were kind of pushed out of the mainstream of society, the least and the lost, the ones who were poor and or poor of spirit, the ones who were weak, the ones that were ill, that had evil spirits and had to have them cast out. That's where Jesus' message really took root more than anything else. Those who were in the leadership and thought they were doing just fine in the world in those days, not so much. Don't mess with my world. I'm doing fine. My income is where I need it to be. My position is where I need it to be. My status is what I want it to be in my life. Don't mess me up with a new message. And that's what Jesus was confronting when he dealt with the ministries to all types of people. And many rejected him, those who were in those higher positions as well. Just before the text that we read today, Jesus prayed. And he said this, he says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. He realized that it wasn't the ones who really knew the word of God, who really studied it, that were going to receive it and let the word bear fruit among them. It was the little ones, the ones who were as children coming before him, just looking for a faithful relationship with God the Father. And he announced this to the crowds. He said, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. He was claiming that relationship between Father, God, and the people, that through him they could have that relationship that they'd always sought with God and be blessed by God. And what comes next in verse 28 to 30 that I read is one of the most beautiful things in Scripture anywhere, I believe. It needs very little contextualizing. It could be Jesus standing right here in front of us, just as he was in Galilee with those he was speaking to at that time. Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you will find rest for your souls. You will find rest for your souls. I don't know how life strikes you today, but all of us at one time or another, when that word rest is in the Scripture, just really seeks that kind of feeling. There's something in us that cries out for that. It's, I think, what is intended in the Ten Commandments about Sabbath rest. I think that's what it's supposed to be. It's not me vegging out in front of the TV until I fall asleep. That's not the kind of rest. It's the kind of rest that's the well-being of everything about you. You're in a place where you're comfortable and well cared for. Your health as well, all of those kinds of things are right with God. And how seldom it is that we can really find ourselves and claim, that's where I am right now. Because there's always something. There's a pain here, there's a problem there, there's a relationship issue there. We've all struggled with all kinds of things that tend to pull us apart, break us down, make us feel uneasy and anxious, and boy, there's anxiety in our world today. So today, we're going to spend a little time trying to deal with that. You see, I think Jesus is saying, throw off all the things that burden you. Whatever you're yoked to now, get rid of it. The image of yoke, by the way, is used in the Bible to signify servitude, okay? But it's also, in the rabbinic tradition, a symbol of wisdom. So Jesus is saying, put on the yoke of wisdom. He's taking the role of divine wisdom, and he's saying, put on my yoke, because it's easy and it's light and it is the right way. It is the wise way to live. Allow me to share those burdens with you, he is saying. Submit your life to me and follow my teaching. Allow me to share all of your burdens. Let me take them to the cross with me. Let my suffering alleviate your suffering. Learn from me, work with me, walk with me, let me carry the load, let me heal you, renew your strength in me. That's what I believe these words are saying to us. And you know what? We don't need a whole lot of context for that because we carry the context with us when we walked in today. Whatever is going on in each of our lives provides the context to hear Jesus' word in just that way. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You're an essential part of the sermon today, because what I want to do is provide us an opportunity to unburden ourselves just a little bit, each of us individually, personally, to unburden ourselves just a little bit. We have a cross centered here in the sanctuary with some wire mesh around it. Many of you are familiar with this cross because it usually displays beautiful spring flowers on Easter Sunday morning, reminding us of the new life that is ours in Jesus Christ. Well, for now, between now and through Good Friday, it's going to bear our burdens, our troubles, our struggles, whatever's going on in our lives, so that it can go with Jesus to Calvary. And that's what we're going to do. In just a few minutes, I'm going to offer a prayer. And when I get quiet again, each of you is invited at your own pace to come forward, pick up one of the ribbons that are in the baskets that are laying down here, and push that ribbon, one end of the ribbon, into the mesh on the cross so that it will stay there. And it becomes a physical, visible signal that you're turning over whatever that burden is that's on your mind, your heart, to God in Christ. It becomes a symbol of that. Some of us are carrying several burdens. Some of us are carrying burdens for others that we love, family members, etc. And so there may need to be more than one that you put on there. That's fine. You'll find that there are a variety of colors and textures here, just like our lives are a variety of colors and textures. It may be that you also want to bring some sort of joy that has come your way because of God's place in your life. Choose a color that meets that need. It may be that it's time for repentance in sackcloth and ashes, so it might be the burlap feel or the gray that signifies ashes. Whatever it is, take your ribbon and go to the cross. There'll be plenty of time to do this. Whatever time it takes, it will take. There'll be some scriptures of comfort that'll be cycling on the screen as you do this, and we're going to do it in complete silence because we're going to be in prayer to God together with our hearts. I hope all that's clear. There was an insert that I hope you got when you came in to help explain that in case it isn't clear to you just yet. The cross will remain in the sanctuary through Good Friday. And so any time between now and then that we are here and are burdened, we can take a ribbon and put it on the cross and add to that need. Let's go to God in prayer as we begin this process. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, we have heard your invitation across the centuries to come to you and take your yoke upon us. You promise rest for our souls. Rest that we cannot find without you. Receive us now as we call to mind those burdens that we bear and offer them to you. Free us, O Lord, that we may serve you always. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.